He's at the 10, the 5, touchdown! This is what the Buckeyes train so hard for.
Just like Valvoline Instant Oil Change, their techs train like pros to deliver expert service every time.
Wait, are we talking about football or oil changes?
Both. Whether it's the Buckeyes on the field or your car in the bay, it's all about preparation and precision.
Can't argue with that.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Visit vioc.com/Buckeyes today.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined, as always, by my lovely co-host, Austin.
Your lovely co-host.
Lovely. So lovely. Always lovely.
Sounds like I'm Vanna White or something.
The loveliest.
You know what I realized?
What's that?
We now have two drying pan episodes named after the You Could Shop at Five or Six Stores video.
Are you kidding?
One of our earliest ones is called I Don't Need Friends, They Disappoint Me.
I mean, it's the most memeable meme in all of meme history.
It's a great damn meme. Those who don't know that meme are missing out.
If you don't know what we're talking about, just Google You Could Shop at Five or Six Stores or just one. And treat yourself to the best video on the internet.
I can see the Statue of Liberty from my house.
You know how many times have we watched that? And honestly, I can't commit any of their wacky phrases to memory.
John, I want a divorce. I can't stand it when she touches me.
Austin can recite it from memory, apparently.
Honey, you got a big storm coming.
Was she the one that they followed up with? Like the one person they could find?
There was one person. I can't remember who it was.
If you don't know the context, we did a deep dive in trying to figure out what the origin of this was. And apparently it was an acting school or something like that.
It was like a confidence building seminar.
Yeah.
Through acting, improv.
It's the best thing ever. And I really wish that I could have participated in that. But
Alex, have you ever had a therapist say to you, you should go into improv. It'll really help with your self-confidence.
See, that's the thing. I don't have money to see a therapist, so no.
I used to have some money.
Oh.
Not anymore.
We're all broke as fuck. I just have to make peace in my own mind.
I'm just trying to say, can you imagine me in an improv class? What a disaster.
Actually, I think that'd be really funny.
It would not. It'd be funny laughing at me.
Can we join an improv class?
You join one first. I'll join later.
No, I wouldn't be able to do it without help.
That sounds like the kind of thing Josh would sign up for, actually.
Oh my gosh. Maybe.
He always joins random classes and seminars and stuff.
He likes to enrich his creative life, which good for him. He's done all kinds of stuff. He's done blacksmithing classes, jewelry making classes. I did one pottery class with him once. It's fun.
Remember that time I went to do the boozy painting and the booze cost extra? No, it was never fucking mine.
Yeah, everything to nickel and dime you. It's why can't it just be an all-inclusive price? Why does it have to be extra?
Scam. Facebook ad scam.
You should have known. The fact that it was being advertised on Facebook. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, what's been going on, Austin?
Okay, so have you not heard from me in a while?
I haven't heard from you in a while, and I know that means that shit's been going on, so.
No, the opposite.
Oh.
Well, I have been in the hospital emergency room.
Oh my. Is everything all right?
On TV, I've been in a hospital emergency room.
What?
I was not physically there, but my brain was. Because, have you seen The Pitt yet?
What the hell is that?
That is an HBO Max original, and it's a medical drama, which is not my usual genre.
The Pitt?
The Pitt.
Like an armpit?
P-I-T-T. Because it's set in Pittsburgh.
Even worse. Okay, go on.
It's 15 episodes and they move in real time. So it covers one day in an emergency room.
Okay.
And I started watching that and I could not stop, Alex.
So is this like a drama, like a fictionalized?
Scripted television show.
Okay, scripted television show. Got it.
Yes.
And you couldn't stop? You were that addicted?
Yeah, I could not stop.
So how many episodes did you binge in one day?
It should be like 3 or 4 days, but I didn't do anything else.
Austin didn't even talk to me.
I couldn't remove my eyes.
God, okay, so...
Well, there is one part where they cut someone's eye
Stop! Open. Oh my gosh. Stop.
Oh my God, you should watch it.
I can't do anything with eyeballs. I just...
We gotta watch... We gotta talk about it. I gotta talk about it with someone.
So I have to watch it then.
You don't... Someone I know needs to. I don't care who.
Someone. Okay, well, I guess that...
Listeners, if you've seen The Pit, let me know.
Somebody talked to Austin about The Pit, apparently. All right, well, it's kind of... I don't know. Medical dramas aren't always known for their, like, stellar writing.
No, I agree. I'm usually not into those. But I don't know. I just got really into it.
I mean, the only medical drama that I've ever been into for any length of time is House, back when it was, like, big.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't get into House either. I was like, that man needs to go to jail.
Oh. Yeah, it's unconventional. Like, if Hugh Laurie's character, Dr. House, ever pulled the shit that he pulled in real life, oh my God, he'd be in jail.
Well, that's why I like this show. It's like, relatively realistic.
But still a scripted TV show.
Everyone's still a fucking supermodel working at the hospital, yes.
Of course. Everybody knows that all you have to do is take off your glasses and then suddenly you become hot.
Mm, they really did do that. The kind of nerdy character, she's like wearing glasses as if she's not like fucking gorgeous.
Underneath the glasses, yeah.
Of course.
This is like the Princess Diaries, where Mia, her character, like, she takes off her glasses and straightens her hair and becomes beautiful.
Were you personally offended by that movie, having her have the big...
Yes, I was.
Yeah, I knew you would be.
Spoiler alert to anybody, obviously, this is a voiceover podcast, but I have curly hair in real life, and I have grown up... This is trauma dumping corner with Alex. Growing up, you have a lot of, like, self-loathing around your hair. I was bullied growing up for my hair. So, of course...
Because of The Princess Diaries.
Yeah, because of that movie. No, but to see a character represented in that movie as being, like, the ugly outcast, and all she has wrong with her, quote-unquote, is the fact that she has curly hair and glasses. I'm like, okay. And then she becomes beautiful when she fixes those things.
Is it a wig? Is she wearing a wig in that movie?
I have no idea.
She has to be, right?
I don't know, but the scene where they're doing her makeover and the brush gets stuck in her hair and breaks off at the handle has traumatized me and stayed with me all these years.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry if that got too heavy and real for a second, but it's taken me a long time to accept my hair as it is. And nowadays, I'm like, fuck it. I do not care what people think. I'm over it. My hair is who I am. People can deal with it. It is not a problem.
If it makes you feel better, I fucking hate my hair.
Your hair is like short. Your hair just looks like every other male hair. Like,
because I keep it short as fuck on purpose because I hate it.
You've never tried another hairstyle.
That's not true.
When have you ever had like longer hair?
When I had silver hair.
Okay, that was slightly longer.
Okay.
On the top, sure, okay.
Sometimes I let it get pretty shaggy.
I think you should just do what you want. I feel like people shouldn't worry so much what other people think, because fuck everybody else. Who cares?
What if I went to go get my clippers right now and I shaved off all the hair off the top of my head live on the podcast?
That would certainly be shocking, but I...
On a non-video podcast.
Do what you gotta do, baby. I don't know. I had a moment where the other... Was it? No, it's been like 2 or 3 years ago now, where I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna start all over and cut my hair off. But then I realized I didn't like myself with short hair, so I grew it back out. Oh my God. What are you doing?
No, not really.
As Austin screams as he cuts his ear off.
Oh, probably.
Don't make me have to call 911.
I just spent the entire several days in an emergency room.
On TV. Okay, well, enough of that.
I did lose a toenail recently. That did happen.
Ew, God.
And we're not going to talk about that? Okay.
Are you going to talk about that?
No, it's gross. All right, what's going on? What's happening?
What's happening with me?
Anne Hathaway, what's going on?
What is going on? Nothing, really. got back into The Sims after a year of not playing it. I know, this is me, guys, okay? We all know by now. If you follow this podcast for any length of time, you know that my interests are cyclical. So that's the latest thing. But yeah, no, sorry. This was a chill week. We did get some listener feedback on my end. So, RIP to everybody listening with headphones. Austin can't control himself. I'm going to come over there and take those away from you.
I'll just get one of my other toys. What, like, remember my magical spinning device?
Oh, the thing that flies wildly and hits you in the face?
There it goes. Ah! Austin, it flew right back at me.
You're creating a dangerous, like, area.
I am a dangerous area.
You are a dangerous area.
Sorry, this is an after work recording, so I'm a bit loopy.
We've been doing a lot of those recently.
Yeah. Our weekends are shot.
I know.
Okay, what's our listener feedback? I'm losing my mind.
I'm sorry, I'm an old person who can't navigate Instagram.
I'm still not exactly sure what Instagram is.
Me neither, honestly.
But fuck you, Metaverse.
I try. Okay, so Liam, our listener, has responded to our, I think it was last week's episode. Honestly, I'm sorry, guys. I can't keep track of when we actually record these because we kind of do them in the succession. So sorry.
Yeah. And now we have a 1 week buffer. So we're a bit out of sync.
One of the more recent episodes, let me just say that, where we were discussing Ash's cheating scandal with his,
oh, right,
in his battle with Brawley, I think it was.
Ash's cheating scandal.
It's cheating scandal. The Playgate. I know. His recall gate. Liam responded that after Tobias, if we all remember Tobias, which anime did he appear in again? Which series? I can't remember.
Diamond and Pearl.
Was it? Oh, the best, of course. Tobias pulled an Articuno out right after a Darkrai. I think everything Ash does is fair.
Sorry, Articuno?
He said Articuno in his comment.
That was a lot to you, Liam.
Oh, okay. I would have just believed Liam.
Sorry, I have to actually, everyone.
Yeah, Austin's bad about that. Ah. So, regardless, I think Liam's sentiment still stands. I mean, if Tobias was allowed to cheat that way in a, like, official league match, then maybe we shouldn't be so hard on Ash when he's, like, in the podunk gyms. So, thank you, Liam, for the feedback. We really appreciate it. Anything on your end, Austin?
Of course. Pokemon Megastar, who is rewatching the Donkey Kong Country CGI musical French cartoon, by the way.
Oh, the one we mentioned with the golden banana song?
Yes.
That I didn't look up, even though I said I was going to?
I've tried to watch it. I just can't do it. I just can't do it.
Pokemon Megastar can do it for us. How about that?
Pokemon Megastar says, if you had a Donkey Kong podcast, would it be out of the coconut cream pie, a Donkey Kong Country podcast? Oh my God. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like something you might see on Pornhub.
Out of the coconut cream pie.
I accidentally bought coconut milk and I am disgusted with myself.
How did you accidentally buy?
I usually get Silk almond milk or the store brand if I'm able to get it. But it was almond and coconut milk. It's the most disgusting shit I've ever encountered in my life.
Are you taking notes, Silk? Austin hates your product.
I hate coconut milk. I like pina coladas. That's the only form of coconut I like.
So you typically drink almond milk.
Well, I don't, like, drink it. I, like, use it for stuff.
What about, like, oat milk?
I'm okay with oat milk.
Okay. What other kind of milks are there?
Oh, there's all sorts of milk. Every kind of milk you can imagine.
Milked almonds. I literally saw that in the store once. I can't remember the brand, but it was tagged, like, milked almonds. And I'm like, please stop.
So Pokemon Megastar anyway. Also weighs in on the Brawley Ash switching debate. Saying, I think it's okay for the most part, but not really sportsmanlike.
Agreed.
They agreed that with me that the Duford Island arc was good and that Tommy with his Swampert on the abandoned ship was sketchy.
As hell.
But remember, Pokemon Megastar is a big Mudkip stan, so love Swampert. But Marchamp is kind of weird, but they do like how they look.
I have a question. If Swampert was left to its own devices in that episode, what do you think its end goal was with
murder.
Capturing the twerps? Yeah, murder, right? Had to be.
Well, I compared it to Alien, and that's a big debate, is what did the Xenomorphs do with the people? Because there are different versions of the different movies. I think, someone correct me if I'm wrong, as always, I think in the theatrical cut. We don't see what it's doing, but in the extended cut, it's trying to harvest the people to make new baby xenomorphs, and it's capturing them.
Gross.
Okay, maybe, I don't know. The xenomorphs seem inconsistent. I guess that's by design.
Body horror aside,
Alex can't comment on this because she hates the Xenomorph franchise. The Alien movies, even though she's never seen them.
When have I ever said that I hate them?
Because you want to watch Predator, but you don't want to get involved with that alien shit.
I do want to watch Predator, but I don't quite care for the alien part of it. Just give me the Predator part.
The Sigourney Weaver part.
Okay, I do like Sigourney Weaver. She was in Avatar.
James Cameron directed Aliens. You love him.
Okay, yes, I love Titanic, and yes, I loved Avatar 1. I didn't quite care for Avatar 2.
What about Terminator 1 and 2?
Oh my god, I love Terminator 2. It's so good.
Okay, well, how about Aliens?
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Don't come at me, okay? You can't watch everything.
You can stop after Aliens, don't worry. Unless you want to, like, make fun of it.
We were talking about this recently because Predator Badlands is coming out, and I was interested in watching that.
Okay, I did my research. I think you gotta watch some other movies in the Predator franchise. I think it'll be fine.
Okay.
But I think thematically you might be like, okay.
That's fine. I can watch them, although I did ask Josh if he'd watch them with me, and he said yes. So hopefully I can get
through. Okay, great. Y'all have fun.
I didn't want to put that on you, Austin, because
I've seen them before.
You've seen them before, yeah.
Oh my god, the Predator 2018. Oh my god!
Is bad, good, bad,
bad.
Oh, that's right. That's the one you said that was bad. Bad. Okay. Bad. As George Thorogood would say.
All right. What else does Omega Star have for us? LVP, or rather MVP for the Brawley episode is actually Ash, because Ash has some supporters, I suppose. LVP is Trico for not knowing any grass type moves. Fair.
Real. When is it going to learn anything else? Like, please.
MVP and LVP for the abandoned ship episode is Swampert for taking everyone out and being effective, but LVP for falling for Tommy's lies.
Yeah, I didn't buy his story. There's some other shit going on with that, and I would love to know more.
Is there anyone in the show that we don't think has a secret agenda or has some sort of, like, conspiracy happening? Like, I don't know.
No, you know why? Because nobody has that perfect of a life. Nobody lives that charmed of a life. Everybody's got shit going on.
That's true. All right, that's it.
All right, well, thank you for sharing. And as always, we appreciate the feedback. Keep it coming. Austin, so with that being said, I think we can jump right in to our highly anticipated contest episode, Win, Lose, or Drew. Okay, so we have Win, Lose, or Drew as the first episode, and then we have a random spiel episode, kind of, sort of, not really, after that. So
it's somewhat based on a game event?
Somewhat, yeah, I would say. Pretty close to the events, maybe, possibly. But we will discuss
the spiel of approval.
Spiel of approval. So who's doing what this week?
Okay, for Win, Lose, or Drew, which one do you want to do?
You know what? I'm not bothered. Either way, I think I could do both. Oh. I'm good.
Flip.
Onto the floor.
Tail, so I'm doing this 30 seconds.
Oh, that means I get to summarize fully. Hooray. Okay. Are you ready, Austin, to win, lose, or Drew?
I am.
In 3, 2, 1, Drew.
It's Pokemon contest time, and May does a pretty good job in her appeal round. Drew does well, and Robert and his Milotic do a really shitty job, but he gets, like, a near-perfect score for some reason. Fuck you, Robert. And then it's May versus Drew, and May does miserably, and Drew wins, but he loses to this Robert fellow. And then May cries, because she is a sore loser. And Drew gets her a rose.
Time! You had some extra time there. Good save at the end.
I wonder if contests are going to be our next gym battle, and we're going to be like, I don't really know what to say about this.
I don't know. I mean, You have to think about it from a podcasting perspective. That's why we try to make things so interesting and fantastical, because otherwise it's just giving a play-by-play and nobody wants that.
Alien Romulus was overrated.
I thought Prometheus was weird as shit.
Prometheus was weird as shit. Alien Covenant was a disappointment because it was backtracking, and that should not have been the case. They should have just gone full throttle with Prometheus 2. And I think we should have gotten a Prometheus 3 just because I want to see what the hell Ridley Scott is up to.
All I remember from that movie was Michael Fassbender and, like, didn't Michael Fassbender's character kiss a clone of Michael Fassbender's character?
Yes, that did happen.
That's all I remember because...
Oh, so you saw Covenant.
Did I?
Yeah.
Maybe part of it.
Okay.
If it was, like, on or something. All right, well, enough of that. We got Pokemon to attend to. Very important. Just like a very important date that May is late to because she's a procrastinator just like me. But we make it just in the nick of time for the cutoff to register. Not the actual contest itself, but the registration cutoff. They make it by the hair on their chinny chin chins. Can't say the same for Team Rocket, though. Poor Jessie is 10 whole minutes late and they will not let her enter. They're very strict about that.
The way they frame this is the twerps get away or like walk away. And it's like, you just made the deadline. And Team Rocket walks up and it's like, you were 10 minutes late.
I know, it was so weird, the time warping that was happening, because they literally had a shot of Brock looking at the clock on the wall and it's like whatever time it is.
It was 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Okay, thank you. And he's like, wow, 10 o'clock right on the dot. And then as they're walking off screen, Team Rocket is walking up. And apparently it has jumped forward in time 10 minutes. So I think Dialga or somebody is like fucking with shit. I don't know, but I feel bad for Jessie in this moment.
She got screwed over by a time bubble.
I know.
As we know, time is not linear in the Pokemon anime.
It really isn't. It really truly is not. So unfortunately for her, she has to sit this round out. But maybe next time she could set her alarm 10 minutes earlier and be able to participate. So in the meantime, though, we have 3 hours to kill, which I thought was going to take up like a bulk of the episode and they were going to get into some stuff. But surprise, we literally flash forward 3 hours and we're in the contest now.
Was all this just to have Team Rocket not participate in the contest this episode?
It had to have been, because like I said, I thought they were going to go somewhere with the fact that they had this time gap in between, but they didn't.
Okay.
So
let's just finish Team Rocket now. What do they do today? What is their
side plot? I don't think it really makes a whole lot of sense to just draw it out throughout this. They basically get intercepted by this old man who's like senile and all he knows to talk about is Pokeblocks. So he descends on them and is like, hey, you whippersnappers, I'll give you the secret of the Pokeblocks. Come with me. And James, at the beginning anyway, is very interested in this, and he's taking furious notes. He's writing it all down so he can know how to make the best Pokeblocks in all the land. Jessie and Meowth are not impressed, and they don't give a shit about this at all. Flash forward to the end of the episode. They are still there in the park listening to this man ramble on, where James cannot take it anymore. So he finally passes out from exhaustion. That's it, the end.
And the old man keeps on going.
And he keeps on going, which I feel like is kind of accurate, because I feel like old people can just like talk and talk and talk.
That certainly can happen. We've worked in retail.
We have worked in retail. And I'm like, please, I understand you're lonely and this is very sad and I would love to keep talking to you, but I have other customers in the line. So have a nice day. And then inevitably they show up like the next day. So
have you watched the King of the Hill reboot yet?
Is it out?
Yeah, the whole season dropped. I watched the whole thing in one day.
Are you kidding?
I have been really good at marathoning lately.
I mean, I knew it was coming out later, but I thought that it was not happening yet. I mean,
it's here.
Wow. Okay. I haven't seen any advertising for it. Holy crap.
Oh, maybe they're not advertising it. I don't know.
Okay. No, I haven't watched it.
It's sad. It's sad that they're empty nesters and retired and Bobby's not there. It's like, this is just depressing at this point.
Okay. I have to watch it. I was trying to rewatch the whole series in anticipation, but it dropped sooner than I thought, so that may have to be on hold for a while.
Okay.
I'll get to it eventually. All right, so enough of Team Rocket. They are here, they're gone. Really, we don't need to talk about them anymore. Okay, so we're in the contest now, And this is where we get our first real look at the iconic contest judges. Oh my gosh, are you ready for this?
We saw them before.
I know, but this is like their debut, like their real debut.
Tsukizo put on a zoot.
Oh my god, he really did. We have, in case you forgot, we have Contesta, the director of the contest committee, Mr. Tsukizo of the Pokemon Enthusiast Club.
A.K.A. the Pokemon Fan Club, A.K.A. the Pokemon Lovers Club.
A.K.A. that was the best episode ever. And then we also have the Slateport Nurse Joy.
Yes. Did you go back and verify like I did?
Did you? Please remind us, because I think we mentioned that.
It's the same shade of green. This is the Wailord Nurse Joy.
Okay. I'm glad we finally were able to confirm that.
She had Combusken, like, steak last night. Or she made, like, a Combusken enchilada or something from that Combusken that she had to get rid of.
She left that Wailord beached with no hope. And then, of course, we have the MC of the evening, Vivian.
Vivian Meridian.
Vivian Meridian is here. How long does she stay? Does she stay around the whole time?
Through Hoenn.
Wow, okay. So she's going to be a fixture for a while. May is backstage, and she is getting ready for the big debut, and she's nervous as hell, and I'm like, real. I felt so bad for her. She's, like, trembling. Stage fright and, like, public speaking and all that stuff. I also have several presentations and stuff coming up for my job, and I'm, like, super nervous about it, so I'm like, I totally feel you, May.
Just pretend you're May with her beautiful fly.
I will. I'll tell myself, take the stage in my head before I go on.
Yeah, did you notice that's solidified by now?
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that, and I'm kind of trying to keep an ear out every time she goes on. That's like her catchphrase. Ash and Brock are trying to be very helpful, and they're like, don't forget what Mr. Big told you. You gotta stay calm, because your Pokemon can feel everything you feel. Okay, thanks. That would make me more nervous, honestly.
But all May can think of is the time that she farted in bed with Mr. Big.
Oh my gosh.
But it's okay, because he gave her a toothbrush head for his automatic toothbrush, and that's the sign of commitment.
Is it the ultimate sign?
According to the late 90s, it is.
Didn't they? They always made a big deal of that stuff in, like, 90s sitcom stuff, though.
Right. It was the time.
I'm just thinking of, like, Friends and stuff like that.
And I couldn't help but wonder, would Mr. Big's fireworks really go off for me? And just like that, the Pokemon contest began.
I can't wait for Mr. Big's inevitable demise on his acro bike. No, it would be a mock bike, I think, actually.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so contest time. Oh, and by the way, sorry, I didn't mention, Drew is here and he's eavesdropping. Again.
That's all he does.
Because he's a freak and he's just watching May from the shadows.
He's got, like, his ear to the wall, like, what's going on over there?
No, he can't leave her alone. My God, he's obsessed.
Creepy.
Creepy. Anyway, so Drew is up first, and the twerps are watching from backstage on the closed circuit TV, and he gets a really high final score, which is the highest yet of the evening, at a 29.4 out of 30, I guess.
Your 29.4s don't impress me. I've seen these judges, judge appeals before. I saw how that stupid Beautifly but Janet got a perfect 30 from, like, I don't know, flying around a little bit or whatever the hell it did.
Yeah, okay. That's a good point to mention that. When we had the contest light, I guess, if you want to call it, back in Rustboro, they gave them, like, all perfect scores. Like, what the hell was that? Was that, like, junior competition or something?
I don't know.
I think the contest appeals in this particular outfit is way better. I'm not sure what the criteria is here.
Yeah, this time, Roselia was basically commanding the stage with its, like, petal dance and sunspore attacks. It was, like, making, like, shimmering leaves on the wind and stuff.
Way better. I think way better of a showing than Janet and that other guy who I can never remember his name.
Chaz?
Was it Chaz? I think you're right.
Maybe.
We called him Brad, but yeah, sure. Okay, so he does pretty well, and May's like, dang, that's a tough act to follow. But she's not up quite yet. There's, like, other people in line first, and she, I think Drew was, what, like, number, like, 20-something? I can't remember.
May should be the last one.
She is the last one. She is number 50 out of 50 entries.
50?
50, I think they said.
Jesus,
I'm pretty sure.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy. So when Drew and his appeal is over, he goes backstage, and I guess, tries to be nice and extends the olive branch to May. And it's like, I'm here to cheer you on, not to rub it in your face, which is pretty sweet, I think. We also see our first introduction. I think this is a recurring character, right? We see Robert again.
We're going to see him much later on, yes.
Much later. Okay, so Robert is here, the iconic Robert, and he has a Milo tick. And immediately you can tell this guy is going to fucking win because he's the adult in the room with the fully evolved Pokemon.
And he actually, like, they put a lot of effort into his design, actually. So, you know, he's like an important person.
Every time they name a character, that's your cue. It's like, oh, this is an important NPC because they have a name. And he's over-designed like all the other main characters.
It's Tobias syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. You can always tell a character that's not just some background person because they have hair that isn't like brown and they don't have like a plain outfit on.
Correct.
This Robert guy is like in purple with like long flowing blonde hair.
Robert's the only one who fucking dressed up for this contest.
I know. He tried.
Yeah, he tried. That's why he won.
He put in the effort because he knows what this is about. Drew was just in his, like, regular clothes, and so was May. She was just in her, like, adventuring gear. And I'm like, girl, you couldn't change out of your stinky bicycle shorts and fanny pack. You just had to stand there.
It feels so weird that they don't change outfits yet. It feels so strange.
I know you've mentioned this before, but this is definitely the let's experiment phase and see what works and what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
They're still finding their footing with the contests, I think. Which ultimately will end up being really great because, as we know, Diamond and Pearl has the best contest series ever. Now May finally makes her debut. She's the last person, which honestly, I'd be pretty nervous because I want to be in the middle. Nobody remembers the people in the middle. Like, you probably remember the first one to go on and then the very last one. So May has a lot of eyes on her at this moment. Because how long have they been there, honestly? Like, if it's 50 people, that's like all day.
That's like at least 2 hours.
Do you think people leave after, like, if you were there to see your friend, do you think people are like leaving after they saw that appeal, or do you think they stay for the whole thing?
I think they wait till the announcements are made for the second round and then they leave.
Maybe they like went outside and like got some food and came back or something.
Okay, here's the thing I think is weird, is at this point, the judges take numerical scores and then display the total score on the screen. So if you're watching, you can be keeping track of who has the highest scores and who's going to be progressing or not.
Yeah, but I always feel like there's an element of, like, extenuating circumstances, too. Like, who tried the hardest and, you know, who put in the most effort and, like, all this.
So do they adjust the scores after their initial impressions? Like, they discuss amongst themselves?
Maybe.
And Tsukizo's like, that wasn't very remarkable, actually, now that I think about it.
That wasn't very remarkable.
And Nurse Joy's like, who wants chicken wings?
Yeah, or whale tacos.
Whale meat.
Whale meat. You know what? Maybe it's like when you're taking an exam in college and it's like a weighted score at the end, you know, because they take like everybody's scores and then consider all of it. I don't know.
We have to grade on the curve that Robert set.
Yeah, exactly. May is on the stage and she is very nervous and I feel so bad for her because she goes up there and she's just about to call Beautifly out and she slips and falls right on her butt in front of everybody. And it doesn't help that literally everybody in the audience is like, oh my gosh.
They're all very empathetic. It's a very empathetic audience.
And Vivian is like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And she like runs up and it's just really embarrassing.
Here's my question. Does she lose points for that?
I would think so.
Because it's like gymnastics or figure skating or whatever. Every little thing.
Yeah. If you don't stick the landing, if you stumble, if you do whatever. Yeah, of course. You get a half a point taken off or something.
So I would think she's out. She's out. If you walk up there and you trip, you're out.
I mean, I feel like they did say that it was her first contest. I feel like they do take that into account, too.
But little Johnny, is their 17th concept? Is their 17th concept? Test.
Entrance.
And they don't get to go on because May is a beginner, so she's allowed to trip? Okay.
Main character syndrome?
Yes.
You know what? Honestly, it's kind of... I honestly don't know how they consider, like, all the different skill levels because unlike the game where you have to enter certain ranks and it's, like, all the same rank of people competing, this is, like, a mix of people.
Free for all.
Yeah, and it's so weird because it's like you have the Roberts of the world who have won multiple ribbons and are clearly experienced participants in the contest arena. And then you have May, who's like a first timer. It's like, how in the fuck are you ever supposed to win against a Robert?
I don't think you are.
Exactly.
Contests are cutthroat. They will kick you the fuck out.
I know.
49 losers and one winner.
You got to be the best of the best. None of this like permissible, like, oh, that's fine. Like the gym battles, like.
Unless you're May and you trip and they don't care.
They do not care. Anyway, she trips and falls and is allowed to get back up and continue her routine. I guess she kind of recovers pretty nicely. You know, she does. Pretty mortified if that was me. But she starts with her kind of tired frisbee routine. And I'm like, girl, this is not going to win you the title.
Is that what Janet did? Janet's Beautifly, like, hit frisbees? Or were they, like, discus that we was, like, shooting? I don't know.
I honestly cannot remember. And I don't really care to remember, so I'm sorry.
Janet has ceased to exist, even though we mention her sometimes.
She should have been a recurring mentor character, but she wasn't, so. Sorry.
No, I'm glad she wasn't. Get her the hell out of here.
True. Okay. Fine.
She's boring as hell.
They could have done something interesting with her, but they didn't. We have Drew instead, which arguably, you know what? Honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, I do prefer Drew because who doesn't love a romance? Anyway, she does her stupid little frisbees. I'm sorry, May. I just don't like the frisbee game. And some string shots and other bullcrap. The only cool thing that she does at the end is she makes Beautifly do Silverwind and then like spin around. So it kind of creates a vortex, like enveloping
it.
And that was pretty cool. So I think that's kind of like the beginning of like the visually interesting contest moves that we get to see. So we get her final score and it's pretty solid. She's bummed out about it because she has high expectations, but even the judges and Vivian are like, it's pretty solid for a first time participant. You got a 24.9. Pretty good, even with all the mistakes.
That Silverwind Cyclone really saved her.
It must have. They really put a lot of that consideration into that one move, I guess. And she hopes that that score, even though it's not 25, is enough to let her move on to the secondary contest battle round.
Even though she should be able to know if she was paying attention to the scores, but I guess she was not keeping track of that.
Yeah, well, she was nervous. I don't know. I feel like Max should have been keeping track of that. He's very...
Yeah, he should be, like, writing them down on, like, a pin pad or, like, the PokéNav or something.
Exactly. The PokéNav has to have, like, a notepad feature, right? Anyway, we're backstage again, and Drew surprises her. This is the first of many of these, by the way. He gives her a red rose. Oh my gosh. And he's like, congratulations on a job well done. And May is like, oh, this is so sweet. Oh my gosh. And he's like, psych, it's for Beautifly, not you, loser. But we all know the truth.
Drew needs therapy.
He really does. I don't know who is, like, in his life as, like, a role model, but...
Oh, I actually do.
Oh, is it who I'm thinking?
Soledad from Pewter City? Yes.
Oh, no, I was thinking of Harley.
Nope, not him. We're not there yet.
We're not there yet. Okay. Soledad. Oh, my gosh, I completely forgot about Soledad. Well, anyway, he needs to work on his, like, romance game. It's very much like boy on the playground pulling the pigtails we mentioned before. Where does he get red roses from? I do have to wonder that.
Does Roselia produce them?
That's a weird thought.
Does he go to, like, the grocery store and buy a single red rose? Or does he have them in bulk?
Does he just have them in his, like, backpack or something?
I guess he and James have the same supplier.
Oh, that's true. I forgot. James hasn't done the rose thing in, like, a long time, though.
No, he's kind of left that by the wayside. It's going to come back, though.
Okay. I feel like they kind of spontaneously remember that that's James's, like, thing, and then they forget again. Anyway, Drew is kind of being a meanie, and he's like, no, that rose is for Beautifly, ha ha, but we all know the truth. He really loves May. He just won't admit it to himself. In the contest battle round, we get to move right into that, and it's a random matchup of the finalists, and of course, the first round has May against Drew, and we all know where this is going. We get 5 minutes. So how the contest battle round works is we get 5 minutes for contestants to showcase their abilities in a battle where they also have to be mindful of how their moves land and look. Ash, Brock, and Max are watching anxiously. And Ash, this was an interesting moment, I think, for Ash. And he was like, I blame myself. I should have spent more time mentoring May with battles. Like, I should have taught her more.
What do we think about that?
I mean, rare introspective moment, I guess.
Okay. But what do you think of that?
I wish that Ash had taken on more of a mentor role. I mean, he's already been journeying through Kanto and Johto and several other places. I feel like he should have been more of like a big brotherly type figure.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I kind of think it's not on Ash. I think he is kind of centering himself when no one else has Ash teaching them how to battle. It's Mei who should be the one initiating these things.
You mean like asking him for help?
Yes. Which, was she the one who asked him the other episode for that practice battle? Or did he offer that?
I honestly can't remember and I wish I could. Okay, fair.
I think this isn't about you, Ash. I think this is Mei's time and she needs to take responsibility for what she did or did not do.
That's a good point. If Ash had come to her unsolicited, it may have come across as annoying or patronizing. I think Mei, like, I agree with you now that you've said that. If she wants to be a good coordinator and a responsible trainer, I think she could have sought out Ash and been like, hey, I'm really struggling with XYZ. Do you have time to teach me? Because, you know, Ash, and to your point too, Ash is dealing with his own stuff with the gym battle. Like, he's got his own goal and time that he is using to practice for himself. I guess that's Mei's, like, character growth that they're trying to go for. Like, she needs to be more responsible and figure out how to anticipate these things.
A couple other things. It's her first contest. It's her first time competing as a participant, not an observer. So, honestly, you know, trial by fire. You got to figure out what it's going to be like before you can really pinpoint how you're going to proceed.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Like, of course, she's a young kid and she wants to do well and win. And it was unrealistic of her to ever expect that she would even come close to winning, especially up against some of the contestants there. But it's realistic, right? I mean, she's shooting for the stars and
not really giving it much thought.
No, she's just like, I got to win. I've been practicing. Ah, I think she got a reality check, though, like seeing how things go.
Also, didn't Ash make that comment before the battle even started?
I think maybe they had done like later. One or two moves at that point.
Oh, okay. So he already saw how it was going to go.
I think. Okay. I may be misremembering it, but at that point they were worried because they're like, oh, this isn't looking too good. So maybe it was already underway.
Oh, okay. I see in my notes. Yeah. They had already started and Drew was already dominating by that point. Okay.
Yeah.
I withdraw my snark.
It's what you would expect. Drew obviously does a lot better and has more command of Roselia and its moves. Mei cannot get it together and she's pretty nervous, not calling out moves. It doesn't help that Ash, Brock, and Max are screaming at her from the stands, like, call a move! Oh my god! She ends up, of course, losing after Drew ends things with a dazzling solar beam attack.
Oh, it looked cool.
It looked really cool. Which I have a quote about that when we are at that point. The boys, so they meet Mei backstage and she is crying. It's pretty sad. And the boys try their best. And I kind of thought this was sweet, you know, like Brock, Ash, and Max are pretty empathetic. And they're like, it's okay. Like, don't worry about it. And she says something to the effect of like, this really sucks. Like, this really hurts. And I didn't expect it to hurt so bad. And they're like, yeah, it does. Like, we've all lost and we've been where you are. So you just have to pick yourself up and try again. And I thought that was kind of sweet. Meanwhile, Drew and Robert are now in the thick of battle and they're watching from the backstage TV again. And Drew is completely chewed up and spit out by Robert. Like, it's not even close. Milotic completely dominates Roselia and he wins easily and ultimately becomes the contest champion. Oh my God, Robert, hooray!
Oh, hooray, Robert.
Hooray, Robert. How many ribbons did they say Robert had? I can't remember. I think they said something.
Did they say?
Like 3 or 4? I can't remember.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's almost done.
I know. So we'll see Robert again eventually. Keep an eye out. So Drew leaves early and Mei sees him go and she has to run after him and tell him that he better prepare himself because she's going to do better next time. And he's like, yeah, I look forward to it. And of course, like their little rivalry. And yeah, that's that.
Okay.
Sorry, not the best ending, but like what else is there to say?
It was laying down some foundations for us.
Sure. Who are we going to give our MVP and LVP to?
Let me flip the coin. I'm going first. And I have one thing to say. You should tell me who should get the LVP for this.
I should?
Yeah.
Okay.
Help me out. Help All me workshop right. this.
I'll try.
Can we talk about how Robert's appeal was dog shit?
What did he do again?
He put Milotic out there and he was like, use Safeguard. And it glowed green for like 5 minutes as everyone in the crowd gasped and said, look at that Milotic. Oh my God, it's green. And everyone's like, wow, Milotic's so amazing. It's the most beautiful of all Pokemon. And Ash like pulls out the Pokedex. Dexter reads a whole description on it. And we cut back to the stage and like, Milotic's still green and just sitting there. And Nurse Joy's like, look at how amazing it is. It's green. And Tsukizo's like, remarkable. And Mr. Contesta's like, look at that Safeguard. And Vivian Meridian's like, it's still doing Safeguard. And then it ends and Robert gets like a 29.9 or whatever it was he got.
Oh my God, you're so right. I'm sorry. I think I just like blacked out during that because it was so boring.
Everyone was like tripping balls on how beautiful Milotic was as it sat there doing nothing. And I'm like, this is boring as shit.
I mean, I guess they're kind of just trying to play up the whole Milotic thing because honestly, remembering back to the good old days of Ruby and Sapphire, finding a Phoebus was really hard.
Yes.
And like Milotic was this coveted rare Pokemon that was like impossible to get.
And it just has to sit there and look pretty and everyone will applaud.
With its hair. I'm not so sure about Milotic.
Yeah, I think maybe something was going on because I did not care for Roberts. He did good in the battle versus Drew, but that appeal I thought was very underwhelming.
Maybe he did like really like awesome other stuff that we just didn't see.
Everyone was talking over that part.
Yeah, I guess so. I do remember now that you've said that, like the green glow and then it like spread out its tail fin thing.
Sure.
And it was like the most fantastical thing that anybody's ever seen.
Like it stretched and everyone was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like when you own a dog or a cat and it does a little stretch and you're like, oh, it's so cute. Like it's one of those.
I mean, maybe. And honestly, maybe that's kind of like Milotic's whole thing is that it's so alluring. It's like a siren, right? I mean, it's supposed to be.
I think it's like a little Sebastian from Parks and Recreation. And I'm Ben Wyatt. And I'm like, I don't get it.
I don't see it.
What is this Milotic deal?
I love that analogy. Yeah, I kind of agree.
What does it do? It's a Milotic. And what does it do? It's a Milotic. It does it better than anyone else. So should Robert get the LVP for that? Or should everyone in the world get the LVP for that? For finding Milotic so amazing?
I mean, Robert for knowing better and feeling like he didn't have to try, but also the judges for allowing that shit to fly. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. It's a hard one.
It's up to you. I could go either way.
Well, my MVP is going to be Tsukizo for putting on a suit. He looks a lot more professional now. And I guess my quote is also going to be Tsukizo for his first line of dialogue, which introduces his catchphrase where he says, remarkable.
That's it. That's the quote.
Yes, there weren't very many good ones.
That's very remarkable, Austin.
And my LVP, God, oof. That could be anyone.
I thought we were deciding between Robert and the judges.
Everyone in the world.
Everyone in the world.
You know what? I'm going to give it to Robert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was the final verdict? It was Robert as LVP. MVP was
Tsukizo.
Okay. I am going to give my MVP to, oh man.
It's hard. There weren't very many standouts.
I know. Gosh. You know what? I'm just going to give it to Drew because.
Oh, Lord, it's Gary syndrome.
I'm a predictable bitch. Okay. He's the new Gary. It fills a hole in my heart. Who doesn't love to be romanced with a red rose, even though you get negged in the process of it. So Drew, because he has good intentions, question mark. I'm going to pretend that he has good intentions.
I don't think he does.
Just let me see all the good parts and ignore conveniently all of the toxic parts. Thank you.
Oh, Alex, you are too old for that.
I know. Thankfully.
You are too experienced in life.
Thankfully, guess what? I know this might be shocking to you, Austin, but these are fictional characters.
Oh, okay.
And I can conveniently gloss over that part. In real life, I know better, of course. I don't want people out there to get the wrong idea. I'm not that shallow.
I'm joking. I'm the Drew to her May, except for the romance part. I'm negging her.
I like to think I've learned a lot in my life. Okay, my LVP is going to be, I don't know,
I had a backup LVP, but you won't like it.
Who is it? Just out of curiosity.
When May tripped, everyone in the audience gasped, except for Drew, who laughed.
Oh my God.
No joke. Go back and watch.
I mean, he's a real one for that, honestly.
She was fine. She wasn't hurt.
I know. She was fine. And she laughed it off at the end. I think Drew, he knows. He knows exactly what's going on. He is not, you know what it is? It's reminding me of, you know how when you have like a toddler or something in your vicinity and they fall down on the playground and they immediately, they immediately look over to the parent or the guardian figure to see how they should react. And if the guardian or parent is like, oh my God, and they make a big deal, the kid starts to cry because that's what kids do. They're not hurt, but they're just like, ah, you're freaking out, so I'm going to freak out. But if the parent is like, oh, you're okay, ha, that's so funny, then the kids like get up and laugh and keep going. They go off and play. So I kind of feel like that was Drew, and he was like, huh, she's fine. Ah. Anyway, God, I still don't know, though. You know what? Oh, God. I'm going to give my LVP to that old man.
Okay.
Who just won't shut the fuck up. He might be incredibly old, but like he's also completely tone deaf in terms of reading the situation. Like, please go home to your wife or something, or like go back to the retirement home you came from. Somebody's missing you somewhere. Like,
no, I really doubt it.
He meant well, but like it's the worst feeling in the world when you get locked into a conversation. And as somebody with social anxiety, I'm very bad at being able to be like, okay, I'm done talking now. Goodbye. My quote is, yours was just what, remarkable or something?
Yeah, there wasn't very many good ones.
Okay, I have one, although I'm sorry, I can never do these ones justice because it's all in the delivery of the line and the voice actors obviously do a much better job than me.
I do not have the time to go into the episodes and cut out the dialogue. So no, you just got to watch the episodes yourself, people.
Exactly. That's why we're doing it's a watch along podcast. It's truly what it is. It's at the end when Drew uses Solar Beam, and it's pretty awesome. It's like a prism of color, and it's pretty cool. And Katesta exclaims, oh, what beautiful colors! And Tsukizo goes, oh my gosh, that's remarkable!
We have the same fucking quote. Because he only says one fucking thing.
What else am I supposed to say? There was literally nothing else. I'm sorry.
He's the best character now.
He is the best. He doesn't even have to say anything, and he's the best character. It's the way he said it. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I do.
Oh my gosh. Which is honestly
we pick different remarkable.
Can we make that a running thing? Like every time there's a contest episode, we just pick out a Tsukizo quote.
I think it's a good backup.
Remarkable.
That sounds like a fucking like cologne ad. It's like a Tsukizo's like in a black void, and he walks up in his suit and he like turns to camera and he says, remarkable. And then like it comes on screen. It's like, remarkable, brought to you by Contesta.
Oh my God, that's like a Dior ad or something. I'm envisioning like Johnny Depp. Do you remember that like crazy Dior ad where he's like in a desert or something and he's got like a guitar and there's like a wolf or some shit?
Yeah, my scenario was way too boring. It should have been like he's like on the beaches of Venice or something.
Remarkable. Or like
on the beaches of Acapulco. And, and he's like driving a convertible.
With like hot women in the backseat or something. Yeah. Where's Gary's like harem of chicks? Like that's who we need to be in this commercial.
Tsukizo needs to hire them.
Oh my God. Okay. I can already tell who our favorite is going to be in these episodes. That's it. That's all I have.
Okay, next episode. Our contest is done. All right, what's the next one?
Oh my gosh. Okay, the next one is the Seal of Approval.
Okay, I'm going to time you.
Lord have mercy.
Get ready in 3, 2, 1, go.
We are at Slateport, and it's our final day, and they want to take in some sights. So they're like, let's go do some stuff. So Brock and May go shopping, because of course they do, but Ash and Max decide to be adventurous and go to the museum. They get accused of trying to break in by this little kid named Marius, and they meet Captain Stern, who has a strange rock. Magma is there, and they try to steal the rock, and Team Rocket tries to steal the rock from them. Magma gets away with part of the rock, but they end up with a little piece of it so Stern can do his research, and Officer Jenny is there, and she doesn't do fuck all, because that's what she does. Fuck all.
Yeah, I don't think Officer Jenny has a single line of dialogue.
She doesn't. She just stands there.
So, I will note, my first thought was, they've been in Slateport City for at least 2 weeks, and they haven't looked at the sights or anything in this entire time.
Guess not.
That's when I came up with my theory.
Oh, the theory.
I mentioned before recording, I had a theory. And that theory is, if you'll remember, after Now That's Flower Power, we had a time skip of 2 weeks. And the twerps were like, wow, those 2 weeks flew by.
Oh, right. Okay.
Okay, here's my theory. I think during that time gap, the movie happened.
Oh.
Because the movie takes place specifically over the course of 7 days.
That is quite remarkable.
That's my new headcanon.
Oh.
I think they left Slateport, did all that, and then came back. And that's why they didn't see the sights of Slateport.
I subscribe to this theory. It makes sense. Chronologically, it makes sense.
And that explains the Mr. Big of it all. Because if you go with that timeline, we end with Mr. Big's fireworks, and then the movie happens, and we see Mr. Big's fireworks in the movie.
Oh, okay.
So he was preparing for the festival they go to in the movie. And maybe he told them about that. That's why they went there in the first place. Sorry, I'm done.
No, he had to. That was like, they got the side quest from the NPC, and they went to go check it out. They're like, oh, let's go see this festival. And then they get caught up in the movie events. Maybe that's why May was unprepared for her contest, because they were doing movie stuff.
Maybe. They were dealing with a Jirachi. We'll see that soon.
Can't wait. All right. I agree. I think that's a great theory.
All right. So we get the exact same scene we got from the time that the twerps were in Renshin Town, I believe it was, with the Shroomish Mansion.
Alexander, whatever his name was.
I think he was just Alex.
Oh, was he just Alex?
Maybe. I don't know.
The sketchy Shroomish man. Yeah, okay.
All right, so it's the same dividing lines. May and Bok are going to go shopping, and Ash and Max are going to go to what we know to be as the Oceanic Museum. Because Max wants to go see the museum because he's a nerd. And I guess Ash has a really keen interest in science.
He's an academic, of course.
That joke has layers for those of you who have seen XY. So we go to the museum, which is open 24/7 every day of the week, except right now because it's closed. And Max is like, that's bullshit. We're getting in there. So he starts to scale the walls to break in.
Nothing can stand between Max and his thirst for knowledge.
Yes, nothing.
What was he going to do? Like, honestly, what was his, like, plan? That he was going to break in and be able to just, like, tour around without consequences? Like,
this is the same Max who came up with the replace Combusken with Torchic plan. So he's not thinking ahead very much.
He's a little boy. It makes sense. Okay.
I don't know where Ash is that he lets Max wander off. Ash is just, like, picking his nose somewhere. You know what he is? He's, like, Putty in Seinfeld, where he returns home and he just stares at the wall for the entire time he's home.
What?
Like in a stupor. Maybe that's what happened to Ash. He was just like sitting there staring at nothing.
I mean, Ash is kind of like an agent of chaos himself.
Sometimes he has his moments.
He's all about like a good idea. Like he was on board with the whole replacing Torchic and Combusken plan. Like, if you convince him, he'll do it. I'm like, all right, I'm down to clown.
But I don't know what he was doing when Max was off doing his shit. Because Max is trying to scale the wall unsuccessfully. Because an annoying little boy named Marius appears. Marius, who, like, lives on the docks or something from his attire.
Was he dressed as, like, I thought he was, like, a bug catcher at first.
Like a fisher boy or something?
He's like a little fisher boy, yeah.
Well, he has a Sfeel. And he's like, Sfeel, kill this motherfucker. So the Sfeel blows water in his face and jumps on him and starts going, Sfeel, Sfeel, Sfeel! So Ash is coming. Ash runs up. He reconnects with Max from his, like, blue screen of death or whatever he was doing at the entrance of the museum. Maybe he was looking for another entrance. I don't know.
Well, he had a guidebook in his hand. Maybe he was, like, trying to read about it.
Yeah, he was like, maybe it'll say something about, like, a special event or something in this pamphlet.
He's trying to be helpful.
He finally catches up and he's like, Max, what the hell is going on with this kid? And Max has no answers until a handsome man, a suave gentleman, appears.
A very Captain dapper Stern. Man. Yeah.
Were you like me and thought Captain Stern was like a gross old man? Because I did.
Well, you thought he was a gross old man?
That's how I remembered him being. But apparently he's like, I don't know, Thomas Crown or something.
Okay, so I was trying to remember back in the games.
What does his little sprite look like?
Could be, you know what? Honestly, I don't want to be really wrong. I want to look it up, but I thought he was just like a nerdy scientist looking guy, at least in Oras.
Oh, here's what his model looks like in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. It does not look like his depiction in this episode.
Oh, you're going to send me. Okay, hold on. Austin has sent a picture. Oh, what? This guy. Okay, first of all, this model from Oras looks like he's like 60 years old. He's got a huge bottle brush mustache. And, like, the most heinous green suit you've ever seen with, like, a weird bowler hat.
This is him in Emerald being interviewed by Gabby and Ty.
Oh, this, okay, this is what I remembered. I was conflating the two in my mind. I remember him as this original sprite. He was just like a generic science man. You know what? He reminds me of Professor Elm, is what he reminds me of in this.
Well, guess what? I think maybe Oras was taking inspiration from Adventures, because look what he looks like in the Pokemon Adventures manga.
What is going on? He's got like a John Waters mustache. What is happening?
The Adventures Captain Stern kind of looks like he has the hair of the anime Captain Stern, the glasses of the Ruby and Sapphire sprite, and he has a mustache, which apparently he grew out in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire.
Somebody needs to do an intervention and like get him to shave that horrible mustache off of his face. Good lord.
Oh, that's too funny. And just for comparison's sake, I'm going to send you an image of what he looked like in the show, which is very different. But he has the same hair part.
Okay. Why does his hair kind of look like May's hair?
Oh, God. May has another father.
He has another father.
Caroline sat in the hot tub, and there is all sorts of spunk in there. Who knows who the father is?
Oh, my God.
Quite the wild party in Hoenn.
My favorite Stern is Anime Stern.
Yes.
This one's the least offensive looking.
He looks like a Bruce Wayne type figure or something. I don't
kind of does.
With the sports jacket and the turtleneck.
He's got that like nerdy sexiness where he can like rip off his shirt at any time and reveal that he's like got a 12-pack ab under there. Like
more on muscles later.
Whoa. Okay, whoa.
Okay, Captain Stern runs up, and I thought for sure Marius was going to be like his son or grandson, like Marius Stern. But no, he's just like a random vagrant child that attached himself to Captain Stern, I guess.
He's like his young ward or something.
Very Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson.
I got that vibe. Like, he doesn't... Okay, so I thought for a split second, to your point, that this boy had like some hero worship of Stern. And he was like, I'm going to be with Stern and go on adventures and be a scientist and all this.
Yeah, he's going to like travel the world with Captain Stern.
Yeah, and I thought Stern was going to be like, ha ha, oh, sport, you're so funny. Like, maybe when you're a little older, you know, kind of... putting him down gently a little bit, like, but not really committed to that. But he didn't like rebuff him at all. He didn't like disagree or be like, no. He seemed totally knowledgeable of this, and like they have a prior agreement or something. Like he knows this kid, and he's like, yes, you're my protege.
What is the nature of their relationship?
I don't know.
It's so weird.
It's so weird. Where are his parents?
Who is Marius? Why is he here? I guess he's here because he has a Sfeel. We have to show Sfeel at some point. I don't know.
You know what? They could have just solved this problem by doing exactly what you said and just writing him in as his son or like nephew or something.
Yes.
God, okay.
Anyway, Marius is kind of a dumbass because he doesn't know shit about like Pokemon types and advantages and evolutions.
I have a question again, because I feel like this is happening a lot recently where these kids of the day that just like show up for these one episodes, they're so much younger. It's like Keanu, like they're so much younger than 10 and they're like trainers. How are they able to be trainers? Like, I'm just, blows my mind every time.
At this point they need to have like Max say like, May and I are not allowed to have Pokemon until we turn 10 because our dad is a gym leader and he doesn't believe that children under that age should be allowed to have Pokemon, but other kids can. I don't know.
I thought it was like, you know, maybe I'm just conflating this with like early days of Red and Blue where they said like every kid who turns 10 gets to be a trainer. Has the rules changed? Are things different in Hoenn? Like, what's the deal here?
Hoenn is just whatever the hell they want it to be,
I guess.
Who was the other? Oh, Stephanie.
Stephanie?
Stephanie, who got her starter Mudkip at like 8.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. So there's been Keanu, the kid with the Nincada. There was Stephanie and her dad who like had an attack over Treecko.
Marius, who is Captain Stern's secret child from an affair.
Yes.
He gives him a Sfeel to keep him quiet.
In lieu of child support, he's just like, here, take the Sfeel.
Probably. You can hang out at the museum all day. That's just child care.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the museum closed because they had to... They didn't even say why it closed. It was like we were setting up a special exhibit or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Something to do with the rock. I don't know.
Something going on with the rock. But he lets Ash and Max in, I guess, so they don't report the fact that he has a son to anyone. And I don't know. As they do this, we see a mysterious person is breaking into the back of the museum.
Ooh. That's not going to be anything at all, I'm sure.
Stern, by the way, shows us a model of his little submarine that he's currently in the process of building. But that's not going to come back up, so don't even worry about it.
Who was the guy in the game? It wasn't Captain Stern, but who's like showing us around the museum? Wasn't there like another character?
Captain Stern.
No, wasn't there like another guy though?
Was it Marius?
No, I thought there was like another guy. It wasn't Captain Stern, it was like a different dude.
Okay, Captain Stern's assistant?
No, oh Lieutenant my gosh. Okay, keep Stern. Going. I'm going to like look this up because now it's bothering me.
Okay, I'm just going to talk. Okay, so this is going on. Captain Stern shows us, apparently he's also a geologist amongst many other things that he does. Building submarine, curates museums. He shows us a burnt rock from the bottom of the ocean. And Ash and Max are like, there's no way something could be hot on the bottom of the ocean. There's no lava down there. And Captain Stern's like, well, actually, there is lava down there, but I think it might have been affected by a very hot Pokemon, as we see a silhouette of Groudon walking on the ocean floor.
Very mysterious.
And you speak Groudon's name and Team Magma appears, because they're breaking in, by the way. But that doesn't matter as much as the fact that Team Rocket is running a snow cone cart outside. So all the three boys go outside and they eat their snow cones. And there's this really strange effect where apparently these snow cones are laced with, like, Drano or something, because they impact their ability to move, but they call it brain freeze. They're like, oh my god, I have brain freeze, I can't move, I'm stuck.
Have you ever gotten, like, some intense brain freeze? It's very painful.
Sure, but if Team Rocket was stealing my Pikachu right in front of me, I'd still be able to function.
That's true. Okay, sorry, side note, I'm just thinking, maybe I had a memory, like, a mistaken memory where I was thinking, like, Mr. Briny. Maybe it was Briny who I was thinking of. Like, during the whole plot with, like, Slateport and Captain Stern, I thought there was, like, another guy. Maybe he was just, like, a dude in, like, the shipyard. I don't know. Sorry. That didn't go anywhere.
So, Team Rocket, blah, 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 blah. Steel Pikachu, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't last for very long, because they get blasted off when they come across Team Magma, and Tabitha is there.
Tabitha.
But we don't say his name.
What was his other name that we don't accept?
Harlan?
Harlan. Yeah, fuck that. It's Tabitha.
I guess he hasn't decided on a name yet.
They don't mention Harlan, though.
Team Rocket chase after Team Magma because they're stealing the all-important rock that got burned by fire. And I don't exactly remember what happened. Did Team Rocket get blasted off?
I think so. You know what?
Yeah, Tabitha okay. and his Mighty Anna blast off Team Rocket.
I had a comment about that because I was very upset on Team Rocket's behalf. And I just was wondering, like, can't they ever have a single win? Like, why do they have to make Team Rocket so pathetic that they cannot get any victory? I mean, they couldn't even do anything against Team Magma. Like, not even land a single hit.
Well, Team Magma's super fucking cool. Have you seen them? Oh my god, look at those hoodies.
I know. I know you hate on the hoodies, but I kind of like them. I just feel bad for Team Rocket. I feel like I wish they could do just, like, one thing for once.
They couldn't even steal Bluckberries because Drew stopped them.
That's true. So sad.
Well, they're blasted off today. And there's a lot of, like, negotiating, getting the children away from the threat of Team Magma. Because at first, Captain Stern is like, Max and Marius, go jump off that cliff and get away from here. Because you can't be near Team Magma. And Marius is like, okay, I trust in you implicitly, Captain Stern. So he and Max jump, like, 300 feet to their deaths. And the Sfeel is a super Sfeel and is able to guide them away to the other side of the shore, where they find Brock and May.
That was the only way they could escape, was jumping off the cliff.
Apparently. And so Ash is holding his own against Team Magma, and Captain Stern, who's kind of behaving like an adult, surprisingly, is like, okay, Ash, now you leave, and I'll handle them. And Ash is like, no, I'm Ash. Do you not who I am? I beat bad people. My name's Ash Ketchum from Pallet Town. Captain Stern's like, just fucking go, kid. So Ash acquiesces.
Honestly, this was kind of a pathetic showing for Ash.
Oh, really?
In my opinion, I mean...
What happened, exactly?
I guess they were trying to emphasize the fact that Team Magma is, like, serious business. And they're not to be trifled with. But Ash doesn't do much of anything at all and is kind of easily overpowered, honestly.
See, I thought it was because Captain Stern was like, you need to go. And Ash was like, no, I can help. And then as they were, like, kind of bickering, Tabitha attacks them in his horde of Mightyena that Team Magma has. That causes the stone to break into two pieces. Team Magma grab the larger half and they escape on their, like, weird flotation helicopter device contraption. And they're gone. And as soon as they leave, here comes Officer Jenny and her squad.
After the danger has passed.
Mm-hmm.
She waited until the helicopter was like, yes, it's at least one click away. Now we can drive in.
Ash and Max are like, sorry that they took your rock, Captain Stern. And he's like, it's okay. I still have some rock left over. And I guess Team Magma is going to like look at the rock and be like, yep, it was burned. That is a black rock. That means Groudon's near.
No, I'm sorry. You have to say it right. G.
The G forces.
The G sign.
We're going to find the G spot.
Oh my God. Ah! That joke was too obvious. How did I not think of that?
Surely I made that already, right? Right?
I don't know, maybe.
I don't remember.
It's funny the second time, too.
It's a blur when Team Aqua and Team Magma appear, because I don't know what the hell's going on.
Why can't they just say, it's so stupid, I'm so sorry. I mean, I know why they're doing it, because they don't want to, like, reveal too much too soon in the anime. But, like, them saying, like, ooh, no sign of K. Ooh, no sign of G. It's so dumb. I'm like, just say Groudon and Kyogre and let us speculate.
I want to see exactly what device Team Magma is going to do to, like, triangulate Groudon's position from this rock that they stole.
Oh my God. But
maybe I'm thinking about it too much. Surprise, surprise.
Does this rock ever, like, come up again?
If it does, I don't remember it.
Well, it's like a nothing then.
I don't know what the hell they're doing. Okay, who cares?
They had to remind us that Team Magma was doing some shit in the background.
I thought it was a lot more fun in the game when you get to Slateport City and you go to the museum and there's a huge line of Team Magma grunts.
Yes.
Waiting to get in the museum, and you go in with them.
I know, you get to sneak in, and then they're all like in the museum, like looking around. And then of course the iconic entrance of like Maxie and or Archie, depending on your version.
Not in this show. So yeah, this episode was a letdown. It could have been a lot more fun.
Oh well. At least Stern did something. I kind of was a little surprised when he had a Celio. And he was like,
oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. He called out Celio. And I was like, oh my gosh. Because I thought, oh, he doesn't have a Pokemon. You know, he's just like a guy.
More proof that Marius is his son.
I know, because it's an evolved form. So like, okay.
The symbolism.
Is it that they're related somehow? Or is it that Marius is so much of like a little stalker kid that he's like, I have to do everything like Captain Stern, like a hero worship and like have a spiel too.
Like, is this his nephew? Just fucking tell us. I don't know why it's a big secret.
Does it say it online? Is it on Bulbapedia? I feel like we are owed answers.
All right, Bulbapedia, what do you got for us?
Look it up.
Okay, Bulbapedia has said he is the self-appointed security guard of the Slateport Museum. That's it.
Oh, also, fun fact, Marius was also the name of Elm's lover.
I forgot about Elm's lover. Maybe this is his son, Marius Jr.
Marius Jr.
Marius and Captain Discern have adopted this annoying child.
Okay, I kind of love the idea that this Marius is related to Captain Marius, because he was also like an ocean man. Like
traveling the seas.
Captain. I'm going to see. Okay, let me look at this up myself. Oh yeah, it says self-appointed security guard. Security guard.
Okay, so I would have killed Marius, then have the episode focus on Team Magma and have Maxie be introduced and get rid of all this rock shit or whatever they're doing. I don't know.
Fun fact, I did not look at the trivia section before I mentioned that, but it does mention that Marius shares his name with another character of the day, Captain Marius. Ah.
Oh.
Ah. Yeah, I feel like it would have been better if Maxie or whatever had showed up. Like, at least then the stakes would be a little higher, because I feel like we've seen Tabitha and them enough, like the generic grunt number 72. Like, give us a little bit more high stakes. Ooh, what's happening? Ooh.
Mm-hmm. No progress was made. All right, flipping the coin for MVP, LVP, and quote, unless you disagree.
Nope, I'm good.
I'm going first. My MVP is going to be Tabitha, because even though I'm not quite sure what he's doing, once again, the muscles animation strikes. Because did you see his biceps when he was throwing that Pokeball?
I sadly did not. I think I missed it.
Okay. They emphasized every little muscle on his arms, and I was like, someone, I guess they're trying to make them look intimidating. Is that what they're doing?
This is like a Mr. Yesterday all over again.
Mr. Yesterday was more torso. This guy is more arms.
He had painted on clothes and everything.
Tabitha's boring as shit, so I gotta give him something.
I wish I had paid attention to that, but I didn't, sadly.
Is it steroids? Is it anchor arms? Is it natural? Natty or juice? Who knows?
Anchor arms.
Yeah. My LVP will be Marius for being annoying and inexplicable. And my quote is a really long one. I'm so sorry, Alex. I'm taking the best one.
Go for it.
This is Team Rocket spying on the twerps. Meowth. Look at that! It's a twerp exhibit. James, with Pikachu as the main attraction. Jesse, soon to be a fatal attraction. Anything having to do with attraction, I'm pretty much an expert. James, I know. Not only do we steal Pikachu, but also the priceless treasures from the museum. And then we'll be surely rolling in the green stuff. Meowth. And we make lots of money, too.
Oh, God.
That was funny.
That was funny.
Also, shout out to Fatal Attraction. A sexist, but good movie.
I haven't seen that movie.
Tell me what you think when you've seen it.
Okay. Remind me to watch it.
Glenn Close is good. That's why it's good.
Another to add to the list.
Infinitely many movies.
Oh, God. It's too many. All right. So, my MVP is going to be, I guess, Captain Stern. He's way more attractive than his other counterparts, thank God.
He absorbed all the good-looking genes from his counterparts from across the media franchise.
Exactly.
It's like when you eat your twin in the womb.
Yeah. He had to be the fairest in all the land, so he had to kill off all the competition.
It's like a Dorian Gray situation, and there's pictures of the other Captain Sterns hidden in the museum, and that's why it had to be closed down for the day.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, that's canon.
Yeah, I guess him. And he also, like, did stuff. Like, he actually, like, stepped into battle and didn't leave it all up to Ash or Marius or whatever. His plan was stupid, though. He's like, run away! And it didn't work, but he tried.
I appreciated that. I thought he was like, there are children. This is, like, a dangerous situation. I need to remove the children. That's priority number one.
I mean, he did, like,
get out.
Do a sacrifice thing. He was like, I'll stay back and handle it. Which, I don't know, kind of read to me like he was willing to, like, be injured and potentially killed trying to, like, save them. So, good for him. He tried. My LVP is going to be, I think you know already.
I don't.
If it's not Ash, then it's Officer Jenny. Yes.
Yay! Yay! Yeah, figured
it
out.
It took a little bit of a teeth pulling, but you got it. But yeah, Officer Jenny, because she didn't do shit. She just showed up conveniently after the helicopter had flown off. And then we didn't even hear anything from her. She just stood there with her Growlithe looking like completely ineffectual. She's just standing there.
Officer Jenny was ineffectual?
I know. Shocking. Maybe they couldn't get like Jenny's voice actress that day or something. And they just had to like do a still shot or something. I don't know. Anyway, useless as always. We're never getting that rock back.
No, we are not.
My quote is, I didn't have like barely any actually. Okay, I guess there was like, it's a nothing of a line. It's when Brock and May are finishing their shopping spree, blissfully unaware of the bullshit as of right then. They get pulled into it soon, but May is in shopping heaven and she says, I must be in heaven. And Brock says, no, you're just at the mall. Should we go now?
That was funny.
That's it for me.
That's it for you.
Okay, what's next week?
Okay, next week's the weird one.
All right, yeah, tell us.
We're going to have to discuss this off pod, what we're going to do exactly. But we are covering the Pichu Brothers special episode that can only be found in segments unlocked by playing Pokemon Channel on the Nintendo GameCube. The special episode is called Pichu Brothers in Party Panic. I think what we should do is we can do this in either order. We should discuss Party Panic. And we should discuss our experiences from what we remember of playing Pokemon Channel.
When we did the Twitch recording so yes. long ago?
Yes.
Oh, God. Okay.
Basically, I needed an easy episode to edit before we do the movie. That's my logic here. So, okay. There we go.
All right. Well, look forward to that. That'll be interesting, I'm sure. With that being said, I think we'll wrap it up here. Any final thoughts, Austin? Nothing. Remarkable.
Oh, sorry. I'm like Ash. Yes. Oh, that was a good line. I should have done that. God damn it. Ah! Good thinking, Alex. Alex, do you have any final thoughts?
No remarkable thoughts.
These were not remarkable episodes. I'm so sorry, Pokemon anime.
Speak for yourself.
Okay.
Captain Stern was a snack.
Okay.
JK. Okay, so thank you so much for listening. As always, if you want to reach out to us, you can do so at our Gmail account, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you all, so please send us a message. You can also follow us on our social media. We have a Blue Sky account. Austin posts some really fun stuff over there, so give us a follow. Our handle is @outofthedryingpan. Again, @outofthedryingpan. We also have an Instagram. follow us there too. Same handle, at Out of the Drying Pan. We also have our Patreon, like we mentioned. If you like this podcast, if you want to support us, we would very much appreciate it. And you can do so by clicking the link in the description. And as always, we want to say thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week as the journey continues.